Good morning. Welcome also to each one visiting with us this morning. We are privileged to gather together for the worship of our triune covenant God. May God, by his Spirit, through word and sacrament, also draw us closer to him, that we might cling to him and the promises of his word. Our pre-service hymn is Come Thou Almighty King. Let's sing that together.
As we worship the Lord, let us call upon his name, confessing together, Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, and who in Christ Jesus remains an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. And this great God greets us, saying, Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our worship singing in praise to the Lord, Psalter 431, the first four stanzas, Psalter 431.
Thank you.
It's our privilege now to listen to the Ten Commandments. Especially in our day, we should see it as a great blessing to hear God's law. And we listen to it every Lord's Day, not to give us a check mark in self-righteousness, but to have us flee to Christ for His righteousness. And that we confess our sin. And that we look to Jesus and ask for His Holy Spirit to write His law in our hearts in true thankful love to Him and our neighbor. So let's listen to God's Ten Commandments in that light, and then we'll sing Psalter 322, all the stanza. Hear the law of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those, that is, thousands of those generations who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your daughter, nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So far, God's perfect law of true love before him and each other. Psalter 322. We get to read two other passages of Scripture this morning from Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 44 to the end of the chapter. And then also Psalm 115. So Deuteronomy 32 and then Psalm 115. After which we will have the sacrament of holy baptism for young David Overdoon. Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy 32, beginning at verse 44. So Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, "Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess." Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, "Go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you trespassed against me, among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel." We will be thinking about the words of verse 47. "For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life." But first let's read Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Here we have the futility of idols and trustworthiness of God. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." So far, the reading of God's word, may just the reading of Scripture be a rich blessing to us. We now have the privilege of holy baptism, and I invite you to read with me from the form for the administration of baptism, giving some basic biblical instruction in regards to Christian baptism, also for infants as we understand that. And we have a newer version of the form that's in the back of the Psalter, and I think it's been explained to you, so hopefully you all have that in your pews, and we'll just read from that before the sacrament. We start with page 1. "Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of holy baptism is summarized as follows. First, we and our children are conceived and born in sin. This means that we are by nature children of wrath, and therefore cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Baptism by immersion or sprinkling teaches us that sin has made us so impure that we must undergo a cleansing which only God can accomplish. By this we are admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and to turn to God for our cleansing and salvation. Second, baptism signifies and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. For this reason, we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father testifies and seals to us that He makes an eternal covenant of grace with us. He adopts us as His children and heirs, and therefore He promises to provide us with all good and to protect us from all evil or turn it to our benefit. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son seals to us that He washes us in His blood from all our sins and unites us with Him in His death and resurrection. Thus we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that He makes His home within us and will sanctify us to be members of Christ. He will impart to us what we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Third, since every covenant contains two parts, promise and obligation, we are through baptism called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. We are to cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to trust Him and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and with all our strength. We must not love the world, but crucify our old nature and lead a holy life. If through weakness we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and trustworthy testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And to infants of believers, although our children do not understand all this, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. Just as they share without their knowledge in the sin and condemnation of Adam, so are they, without their knowledge, received unto grace in Christ. For God speaks to Abraham, the father of all believers, and therefore to us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Genesis 17:7. The Apostle Peter also testifies to this with these words, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 2:39. Therefore God formerly commanded that infants be circumcised as a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness that comes by faith. Christ also recognized that children are members of the covenant people when He embraced them, laid His hands on them, and blessed them. Since baptism has replaced circumcision, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of His covenant. As these children mature, it is the duty of their parents to instruct them in these truths. In order that we may now administer this holy sacrament to the glory of God for our comfort and to the upbuilding of His church, let us call upon His holy name. We are on page 4 of the form. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, long ago You severely punished an unbelieving and unrepentant world in holy judgment with the flood. But in Your great mercy, You saved and protected believing Noah and his family. You also drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his whole army in the Red Sea, and You brought Your people, Israel, through the sea on dry ground. Thus, You revealed the meaning of baptism and the mercies of Your covenant in saving Your people, who of themselves deserved Your condemnation. We therefore pray that in Your infinite mercy, You will graciously look upon this child, David Hans Overdoen, and bring him into union with Your Son, Jesus Christ, through Your Holy Spirit, so that he may be buried with Christ into death and be raised with Him to walk in newness of life. We pray that he may follow Christ day by day, may joyfully bear His cross and cling to Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Comfort him in Your grace, so that when he leaves this life and its constant struggle against the power of sin, he may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ your Son. We ask this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. At this point, I'd like to ask the parents to rise for some questions. Okay, Callie, I've got to ask Mom and Dad some questions, okay? Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as you have heard, baptism is an ordinance of God to seal to us and our children his covenant. We must therefore receive the sacrament for this purpose and not out of mere custom or superstition. And that it may be clear that you desire baptism as God commands, you are to answer these questions sincerely. First, do you confess that our children, though conceived and born in sin, and therefore subject to all the misery which sin brings, even the condemnation of God, yet are sanctified or set apart in Christ, and so, as members of his church, ought to be baptized? Second, do you confess that the doctrine of the Old and New Testaments, summarized in the Apostles' Creed, and taught here in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And third, do you sincerely promise to do all you can to teach this child, along with your other children, to have him and them taught according to this doctrine and this doctrine of salvation, to make it known to them? What is your answer, Martin? Rieske. Dear parents, I remember 10 years ago when we left to go to Calgary, you as a young couple had no children. You longed for children. You prayed for children. Now, 10 years later, God has given you 5. And God took one away just when you had her for a short while. But shortly after, God blessed you with giving you David Hans. And we rejoice with you in this. And we want to encourage you in your great calling now to raise your children in the way of the gospel. You have your hands full. We talked about that in the consistory room downstairs even, just like all of us have as parents. Some of us older ones said, we've been there and done that. But you're in that stage, and we wish you much strength and much blessing. And you know, baptism is meant to encourage you, because as you want to raise David in the way of the Lord, God is saying, I also am very caring for David. In fact, I'm going to come alongside of him from his childhood, when he doesn't even know it yet, to be his God, to promise and to commit myself to him, so that when he calls on me, he can know I will surely hear. So may God encourage you, encourage us all with this baptism. May it remind us of our baptism. Our God is a caring God. My father often said to me, Hans, remember you were baptized. Meaning, go to the God who cares for you, who pledged himself to you when you were still a baby and knew nothing of your need. How great is this God? How gracious. May God bless us and bless you and bless David as he is baptized. After the baptism, let's sing together Psalter 425, stanza 5 and 6, and we'll do that standing. Warm water. Come. You want to hold him, David, maybe? David Hans Overdoon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. reminder, the text for the service is Deuteronomy 32, where Moses says to the people in verse 47, concerning the way of the Lord and following after Him, for it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And it's fitting that we sing after the sermon, Psalter 134, all the stanza. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, and friends and visitors, dear Martin and Wieska, how special already this Christian worship service has been. To witness together Dave and Hans receive from God special attention, and to have him promise with sign and seal the gospel to this young boy, how very wonderful that really is. How dependent little David is on the help of his dad and mom and many others as he grows up in this world. David himself is not aware at this point of his many needs and of the big and dangerous world, the fallen, sinful world he has come into since his birth just 3 years ago about. He has already experienced much. And how we praise God that now in his providence he has come into a Christian family, and that he has been adopted as one of yours, Martin Awiska, your very own. He is God's blessed gift to you, along with your other children. And now, while many will come alongside of young David, along with you, to help him and to promise him strength in all the cares he needs and needs he has, the greatest blessing really is that God himself has come alongside of him. We just witnessed it. The Lord God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, come personally alongside of David Overdune and pledge to him he will be his lifelong helper, defender, savior, and keeper, lover, and friend, for soul and body, now and forevermore. I mean, can there be anything more wonderful, more needful than this, really? How it calls for a response of faith and thankful obedience on all our part. Yes, especially for you as parents, dear Martin and Awiska, and for him, David, as he grows up, a covenant child in your Christian home. Well, in that light, we now have this morning a scripture word that's meant to be of great encouragement and help. The theme for this morning's message is seeking and following the God of the Bible is never futile, never in vain. Can you think of something futile in your life? I'm sure we all can. Whatever you think is a waste of time and useless in your life, seeking and serving the Lord is not that. The theme following our text by the Spirit of God is following and seeking the Lord is never futile. And this is based on Moses' words by the Spirit of God when he was about to depart from them. Deuteronomy is part of the last sermon that Moses ever gave. And our text is found in what's called a song. Called the song in verse 44. Moses leaves them with a parting song, reminding them all about the history of Israel and how God was faithful to his commitments, faithful in his keeping and care of his people, Israel, up to that point. Yes, even in spite of their many sins and repeated turning away from the Lord their God, time and again, the Lord came to be there for them and to help them, to rescue them in all their needs. And in this context, Moses then says the concluding words in verse 46 and 47. Look at them again. And he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing, or literally a vain thing, for you, because it is your life And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to possess. Do you hear what Moses says here? Seeking and following the one true God of the Bible is never in vain. It is never futile, nor useless, nor a waste of time, nor good for nothing. When you trust and follow the Lord and His word with all your mind and soul and strength, it's our folly, isn't it, to ignore this truth and to be forgetful of it all too often still. Well, don't you think it might be good for us to consider this matter together just a short while? For you as parents and family with your dear son, given the calling now also to raise him in the Lord's ways, in accordance with all his word and will. You have just promised, Martin Owiska, that you will do your very best, God helping you, to raise young David too in God's ways. Well, let me encourage you from our text that this be a theme and a motto in your ongoing Christian upbringing of him along with your other children. Keep teaching him and modeling to him what Moses says in our text. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. It's not a futile thing for you, dear son David. And yes, Justin and Sadie and Callie, who's just gone away now. It's not a vain thing for you always to seek and serve the Lord and to live by and out of his gospel word. It's your life, Moses says. Seeking and following the God of the Bible is never futile. In convincing one and all here this morning of this, our theme, consider the following three observations in support of it. The first is how the scriptures state this gospel reality over and over. Isn't it true? Indeed, isn't this actually what the whole Bible is all about from cover to cover? The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is giving us, as one put it, basic instruction before leaving earth. This book explains the origin of life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the problems in life, the strength of life, the value of life, the promise in life, and the one hope of life eternal in the world to come. Seeking and following the one true God of the Bible is never futile or in vain. That is the reality, because you see, only the Bible is God's inspired, inerrant, infallible truth for all people all over the world in all ages. And the Bible, as Moses recorded, also tells us, doesn't it, about God creating the whole world and creating it perfect and good. He made the first humans, Adam and Eve, as we read in Genesis, and he made them sinless and perfect. And they lived in the beautiful Garden of Eden, where they were called to serve and praise the Lord with their whole being, and they did so. But those opening chapters tell us the sad story, don't they, about Adam and Eve as representatives of the whole human race. They rebelled against the Lord. They listened to the devil. And instead of doing what God told them to do, they followed Satan. And they brought sin into this world. You know the story. God is holy. You heard that last Sunday. And all sin and wickedness against him and his will is always rebellion and treasonous. And as a result of the fall into sin, as told about in the early chapters of Genesis, Adam and Eve, you know, had to leave the Garden of Eden. And that's a picture of mankind no longer under the favor of God, under the blessing of God. The human race now, as sinful, corrupted, fallen people, is under God's curse, under his judgment on its own. And all mankind is depraved and spoiled with the poison of a sinful, blind, and rebellious heart against God by nature. Even, yes, also dear Hans, as cute as he is, as a young boy, we know from the Bible, He came into this world with a sinful heart. And we all have observed he is a sinner, even as a child. He needs a Savior to save him from his sins and sinfulness, as we all do. And the wonderful gospel truth is that even the day Adam and Eve fell into sin and they had to leave the garden, God promised that very day he would send a Savior. Yes, he would send a Savior. He promised a second Adam, a second representative for the whole human race, one who would not fail, and one who would obtain perfect righteousness for people like us, and who would pay the punishment for sin we deserve. That's the gospel message, isn't it? Really briefly, where the first Adam miserably failed, Jesus, as Savior of sinners, come to this earth, he perfectly succeeded. Jesus did so, yes, living the absolutely holy, sinless life, also as a child and as a teenager. And at the same time, you know, he paid the full punishment for sin in the place of sinners like us. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ was made to be sin for us, who himself knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is what Christ and him crucified is all about. It is God making full payment for sin on sinners' behalf, while at the same time giving in Christ to God on our behalf a perfect sinless life. In and with the first Adam as our representative, we are all fallen and need to be born again and joined to that second Adam in the way of Holy Spirit given true faith and repentance of sin. With the people of Israel delivered from the land of Egypt and brought into the promised land, and that's all a picture, kind of what God does for all who trust and follow him. The Lord delivers us, praise God, from the bondage of sin and Satan and death and hell. And instead he leads us in the way of salvation to the promised land by his grace and power. In the context of the Song of Moses, the Lord God of the Bible is the one who alone can deliver us from the slavery in Egypt and from the dangers in the wilderness and bring us into the promised land. Over and over, you agree with me, don't you? The Bible teaches this gospel truth, that seeking and following this one true God of the Bible is never futile. We read Psalm 115 also, because it underscores this same gospel teaching. The psalm emphasizes to turn ever away from all idol gods of our own making and from the ways of the world, for our hope and for our expectation in life. For that's all hopeless and will never benefit us. It's always most vain and futile to live life putting our trust and our hope in anything or anyone but the Lord God of the Bible alone. Here, listen to Proverbs 10, verse 2. The wise man says there, led by God's Spirit, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. And then listen to what is stated in verse 28 of that same chapter, Proverbs 10. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish, come to nothing. So do you hear it? And isn't this same what you confess, dear parents, Martin and Wieska? And now the calling for you is to model and teach this to David too, God helping you in the years to come. This same all-important truth, namely, seeking and following the one true God of the Bible is never in vain, never futile. No, for God is the creator of the universe, and he is the provider of every true blessing, and he in Christ Jesus is the Savior of sinners like us all. Persuaded of the same conviction, along with Moses in our text, you know, the Gideons, a Bible society group who hand out Bibles in motels and schools and wherever they still can. You know something they write often in their Bibles? They write this following quote in their Bibles. This book reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are sure. And its gospel unchanging. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. Here too, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. Read it frequently. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. And then goes on, it involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle with its sacred contents. Owned, it is riches. Studied, it is wisdom. Trusted, it is salvation. Loved, it is character. And obeyed, it is power. You see, that's exactly the same as Moses is saying in our text, as he was relating to the people of Israel in his last words to them. And you know, it's really striking. Moses himself was not permitted to enter the promised land. You know why? Because of his sin as a leader. When he one time didn't do what God expressly told him to do, he was not permitted to enter the promised land. But Moses didn't pout and say, it's futile to trust God. No, he gives this testimony. It's not futile to trust God, to follow him. And it wasn't for Moses either. Even though he couldn't go to the promised land, God took him to the promised land. And God was gracious, giving him a view of the Canaan where his people would come before he passed on. And you know the whole point of Moses not being allowed to enter the promised land because he himself was a sinful leader. It points out to the reality you and I need a perfect leader to lead us into the ultimate promised land and to bring us into the paradise God has planned for all his people. The promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. Even far more special than the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were placed. And that perfect, priceless leader congregation is Jesus Christ alone, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Jesus himself said to his followers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The scriptures state this gospel truth and reality over and over, don't they? In all 39 books of the Old Testament, and how many in the New Testament? 27. That seeking and following the one true God of the Bible is never futile. It's never in vain. And the implication is, not doing so always will be in vain and lead to nowhere but darkness and confusion and even eternal doom and gloom. What instruction then this gives us, doesn't it? If we will be wise, also truly loving and caring for our children, then we must pick up the Bible and we must read it and follow it and pray God to understand it and to live by it and to lead our families accordingly. And it can be challenging. Martin and Wieske, you have a challenge with your children to raise them in God's ways. But don't get frustrated when sometimes you think it's useless. No, plod on. Keep on keeping on. Teaching and showing and modeling what the scriptures teach. Even so, we pray, God bless you, dear parents, in ever searching the scriptures and coming faithfully in worship to the Lord and seeking and following the God of the Bible and so wanting to raise your youngest son and all your children at home, in church, and at school, as you are given the opportunity to do. Be resolved and diligent in teaching and leading them, no matter how frustrating and busy it can be. Don't give up. It's never futile, God says. in God's ways, leading our children by precept and example. And even when sometimes we don't see the fruits, as some of you may experience, you don't see the fruits when they grow older, they turn away. Keep bringing them to the Lord. Keep bringing them to the Lord and leave it in His hands. Be resolved to be diligent in raising your children. It's the way of life, says Moses, as opposed to the way of death. Well, we know it's your mind and heart, dear parents, to raise David along with the others in the way of Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47. Yes, your desire is, we know, that he grow up witnessing and experiencing. You as parents really believe this. What Moses says in our text, that it's not futile to look to the Lord and to follow after him and his word. No, in fact, it's your life. May David see and come to realize, under God's blessing, by his Spirit, also through your example and your exhortation, that this is not only for yourselves as parents, but for him as individual and your God-given covenant child, and for his big brother, Justin, and the two sisters, Sadie and Callie, as well. It's like what we read in Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord, meaning living in respect and devotion to him and his word, leads to life. Indeed, congregation, while the way of the sin and worldliness leads to what? Emptiness and destruction. Just look at the news and you'll know that's the way it is. In John 10 and 17, Jesus says, I am come to give life and that more abundantly. And this is life eternal, he says, that people might know you, the one only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Oh, thinking of dear David coming to this world, we know in time, God sparing him, how much will come at him. Even so much already has, though God has blessed him with a wonderful foster mother before he came into your home. But so much already has come into his life. And many more voices will be calling for his attention down the road. It was the same congregation for the people of Israel, especially to coming into the land of pagan Canaan. Would the Israelites listen to God and his word, or fall to listening to the voices of the people of the world around them and to their sinful hearts by nature? What would they do? The plea of Moses in our text was to be sure ever to keep God's word front and center in their lives and not to turn from it. Not to listen to the ungodly voices from Satan and this world and our own sinful hearts by nature. Won't this be your care and prayer too, dear parents, as you raise also David in God's ways? No one of us can force another to believe, can we? We don't even want to encourage that we force someone. We can't do that. You can't make David either follow the Lord and his word as he grows up. But you are called, and we are called as parents, to lead our children in that way with the daily petition to God that the Lord will bless the Christian upbringing to their hearts, to their lives, that they too come to seek and to follow the Lord and his word with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. Isn't this the prayer and care of godly parents for their children and for their grandchildren? And here, too, we come to our second main point on our text for this morning service. How God is out to encourage us ever to seek and follow after him. With the baptism of David just now, that we just witnessed, have we not seen? Has it not been shown to us again how the Lord cares for us and our children? Yes, so very much so. Remember, our theme is seeking and following the one God of the Bible is never futile or in vain. We learn, firstly, the scriptures state this gospel reality over and over. And now our second main point is the sacrament seals this gospel reality over and over. Yes, for what is the message of God in signing and sealing, pledging and guaranteeing, picturing and pledging Christian baptism? What's he doing in that? Whether baptized as an adult or as an infant coming to this world. What's God saying with baptism? The message of baptism, congregation, is not that the recipient is thereby saved and by baptism itself has a ticket to heaven. No, baptism, rightly understood, divinely signs and seals, pictures and pledges, the promise of the gospel. All that the Word of God teaches us about Jesus Christ being the one and only Savior of sinners for us and our children. The water of baptism points to Christ and His shed blood, by which we may be cleansed in the inside and made whiter than snow in the inside, in our hearts. The water of baptism points to the God of salvation, who turns us from lost children condemned in Adam to redeemed children saved and renewed in and through Christ and His Spirit and Word. What this morning's baptism so underscores then, also for David Hans Overdoen, is his need of the Savior, and how life and fullness of life and abundant life and eternal life with God is found for him too, only in David also calling out to this Jesus to be his Savior and Lord. Too many people make the mistake that baptism itself somehow saves us, but that's so wrong. It only ever points us in a very personal way, in a loving way, to the only Redeemer in whom alone is found all our salvation and the gift of eternal life. Both Christian word and sacrament, in other words, give the same gospel message, though one audibly and the other visibly, that in and through Christ Jesus is all our salvation from beginning to end. And what an encouragement, dear Martin Owiska, Christian baptism is then. For over and over, baptism, one time just as God intended it, visibly emphasizes from Him all that the Scriptures tell us. What the Bible all teaches as the only gospel hope for lost sinners in this world, the triune God of salvation, now also means and intends, especially for each baptized person. This morning also now for David Hans. The sign and seal of the gospel promise needs to bring us to the Savior, in whom and by whom the promised gospel is realized and experienced and enjoyed. It's like I often use as an example, if I would give you a coupon for a Dairy Queen blizzard, that would do you no good if you don't go to the Dairy Queen to get that blizzard. And so it's like this with baptism, in a much higher way, of course. Only in going to the Savior, asking for His salvation, also for a sinner like yourself and myself, can the promise be realized. What this means, dear parents, as you well know, you may raise your son and your children, ever pointing them to Jesus and His gospel word, knowing also from their baptism, including David's this morning, God triune truly means the gospel word also for them, for him. And you may call David to come to the Savior in that light. God is working with you. He's not against you as you want to bring them to God. He's encouraging you in your great calling. The Lord pledges even for David, really, even before he's aware of his need, what a Savior God he will be for him as David calls upon him. It all brings out, you know, when we love him, it's because he first loved us. Yes, that's the gospel. When God speaks, congregation, with his word and with the oath of the sacrament, what reasons then to be trusting and following him? The sooner the better, and the more the better too. Well, that's the gospel which Moses was urging back in our text in his parting words to the people of Israel. And how encouraging it is that hearing our theme and seeking and following the one true God is never futile. It's not a waste of time. It's not something that is no use. No, Scripture states over and over it's most profitable. And the sacrament signs and seals it over and over. For as long as David Hans lives, he has this promise on oath from God. God triune, as confirmed in his baptism. God will always be there for him. Oh, with you, dear parents, we pray that early in life, David himself will, by God's grace and spirit, seek and trust the Lord, whom you teach him about, and as made known to us in all the scriptures. And how truly blessed to know and trust the God of the Bible and of our baptism in his triune name. For consider yet the third main point, the third main observation based on our text, how the Savior proves this gospel reality over and over. Namely, that seeking and following the one true God is never futile, never in vain. How does the Savior prove this gospel reality? Well, when you are convicted of your sins and your sinfulness and your need of Jesus to save also a guilty, depraved, defiled sinner like yourself and myself, and you so come to Jesus, what can you expect? Will he kick you away? No. The whole Bible tells and shows us that so calling out in repentance and faith to Jesus the Savior, coming with the cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner, you will discover the Lord is most gracious and forgiving. Indeed, with him is abundant and overflowing salvation and compassion and care for all who come to him, no matter how messed up our lives have become. None coming to Jesus in repentance and faith are ever put to shame. With him is plenteous redemption. Years ago, I preached a sermon about that, which means with him is lots and lots and lots and lots and still more of redemption, salvation, even for the worst of sinners who appeals to Christ the Savior. Oh, for true and good guidance in life too. You find it with Jesus. And for comfort in trials and in sorrows, as many of you also know about, you may find help with Jesus. And for a sure hope of eternal life, you find it with Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior. As Paul declares in Romans 8:32 about Jesus, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How often the Bible and church and world history confirms to live apart from God, apart from Christ, is to live without peace and hope and to meet with God's righteous judgment of eternal condemnation. Nothing we do of ourselves either can change that on our own, left to ourselves. But listen, in and with God triune, as revealed in Christ and his finished salvation work, oh, we find life, fullness of life, abundant life, and everlasting life, all freely offered to us for Jesus' sake alone. You know the ultimate gospel promise? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I tell you, congregation, the Savior proves this gospel truth for all who come to him. And for as often as we come to him, for as often as you come, are you one still a stranger to Christ, never having gone to him to save also a sinner like yourself? Or maybe haven't gone to him before, but now, having so much done wrong and so gone astray, you think it's no use going back. Oh, go back. Let this service, this scripture word of the Lord from Deuteronomy, hit home. And let the sacrament drive it home all the more. And find for yourself, calling on Jesus the Savior, how true and tremendous seeking and following the Lord, God of the Bible, is never futile. Will any here not repent of sin and believe this gospel, these only wonderful words of life, while it's yet the day of grace? You know, sadly, all too many in Israel, they wouldn't pay attention to aged Moses, to his last words either. They didn't listen, and they perished in their sin and without hope. But you won't be so foolish, will you, any among us here this morning? No, listen, I urge you in Jesus' name, as Moses urged in his day, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's your life. Those whom the Lord saves becomes his dear adopted children forevermore, with Jesus as their elder brother Savior, and with God as their dear Father, and with the Holy Spirit as their constant comforter. Don't wait till it's too late, when the day of grace is past and people will cry to God in vain for his mercy and help. Today is the day of salvation, says the Bible. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin, as sadly all too many did in Moses' day. Well, may we as confessing Christians give a godly and joyful example and testimony always to our children and to those around us, that never is it futile to seek and serve the Lord. No, rather, as Paul says, gospel godliness with contentment brings great gain. Honestly, congregation, it's not a fairy tale, but it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which God is pleased to bring very close to his people and the covenant seed in the generations. So again, once more, as one put it, this is not an empty, airy, unsubstantial thing, not a vain, deceitful thing, not a foolish, senseless thing, not a fruitless, unproductive thing to seek the Lord, to observe his ways. It's your life. Yes, Scripture says it. The sacrament seals it, and the Savior proves it. Thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalter 134 in response. give thanks. Gracious God, thank you for this morning worship service where you come to us with word and sacrament to remind us and to assure us that to seek and to observe the Lord's ways is never futile. Lord, help us to never forget this word, and may our baptism ever remind us of it as well. Bless it, Lord, for the family of Martin and Wieska, and bless it for us all. Receive our praise for your mercies in ministering to us with word and sacrament, and to you be all the glory. Lord, we pray for those who may be struggling and be thinking, well, for me it's futile. Maybe so many hard knocks in life, so many disappointments, so many distressful situations. But Lord, let the text drive us back to you, and even to bring back this word to you. And will you bless our prayer to you, that you will prove that you are true to your word, that seeking and following the Lord is never futile. In his name we pray. Amen.